You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That is a bittersweet ending to the Miami Heat season. They beat the Wizards, they end the season on a win, but they don't end up in the playoffs. Miami will be on the outside looking in because the Pacers and Bulls both won on the final night of the season. And even though Miami finished the season with a win, and they finished 10-2 against the Wizards, Rockets, Cavaliers, and Warriors, but they just had a couple of wins late in, or losses late in the season. Specifically that Nuggets and Knicks loss. Those were games that they should have won. That took control out of their hands, and it came down to the last game of the season, the final night of the regular season. And unfortunately, Indiana beat the Hawks. The Hawks were resting their players because they had nothing to play for. They couldn't move up and down or down in the standings. The Bulls got to play the Brooklyn Nets in the last game of the year, and they beat them handedly. The Heat beat the Wizards, and they beat them pretty easily. The Wizards were without John Wall and Bradley Beal. The beginning of the game was close, but they ended up pulling away. And you gotta credit that team for fighting until the 82nd game of the season. I mean, this was a team that was 11-30 in the first 41 games of the season. In the last 41 games of the season, they were the inverse. They were 30-11. I mean, an exact opposite turnaround, complete 180 as far as what their record did. And this team, more than anything, just wanted to keep playing meaningful basketball. I mean, you look at how this team reacted after this final game. They won the game, right? But it's not enough. They had accomplished a lot of things this season, but it was not enough. This team just wanted to play more. This is a team that was counting on being in the playoffs. They really believed they were going to be in the playoffs. I mean, beat reporters tweeting that James Johnson and Tyler Johnson were crying as they left the locker room. Couldn't even hold it together long enough to speak to the media. Emotional was the word that's being thrown around when it comes to this locker room after the Wizards game. And there's a lot to be proud of. There's a lot to be proud of with this Heat team. When they were 11-30, everybody was saying tank, trade Goran Dragic, trade Hassan Whiteside, blow it up, start over. The big three era is done. You need to start from scratch. This team didn't do that. You go back to that five-game road trip in early January before the 13-game win streak, before the turnaround, a five-game road trip. And that is when Eric Spoelstra started to figure out that this team was making strides. They were taking steps forward. And then they get home. They play a Houston Rockets team that is torching the NBA. James Harden is already making his MVP case in January. And the Heat were obviously huge underdogs in that game despite being at home. They win that game 109-103. Six different players score in double digits. They hold James Harden to 12 of 30 shooting, one of his least efficient nights of the season. And that was the first game of what would become a 13-game winning streak. On that streak, Dion Waiters hits the game winner against the Warriors. This team gels together. They find ways to win. That formula, that drive and kick formula, was born out of during that and out of that 13-game win streak. They figured out how to win, and they kept that going, winning 30 of their last 41 games of the regular season. That's impressive, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And even though that this team is not going to be in the playoffs, the Miami Heat organization has won 3 championships. They've had MVPs. They've had finals MVPs. They've been in the playoffs. They've been one of the most successful organizations since entering the league. But this team that is not making the playoffs is still one of the most impressive in franchise history because of the way they battled back. This was a team that had no business being in the playoff mix. This is a team that should have been with the Phoenix Suns and the Lakers and the Brooklyn with the last 2 weeks of the season, trying to decide how high of a draft pick that they want to get. That's what this team was supposed to be, but they weren't. This team came together. They fought hard. Guys like Deion Waiters and James Johnson resurrected their careers. Tyler Johnson improved. Hassan Whiteside improved. They're living up to their contracts. Goran Dragic looks comfortable for the first time since he was traded to Miami from Phoenix. Eric Spoelstra made a Coach of the Year case, and a very convincing one at that. He should win, even though the Heat aren't in the playoffs. The challenge that he had to turn this team around somehow, and how much he accomplished. I mean, no other coach accomplished as much with a bigger challenge in front of them than Spoelstra did this season. No doubt. But this team just wanted to keep playing meaningful basketball games. You look at that second to last game of the season against the Cavaliers. Down 15. Odds against them. I think they had 20% odds, according to 538, to even make the playoffs before that game. And yet, 15 down against a Cavaliers team that rested LeBron and Kyrie. And they said, no, we're going to, at the very least, we are going to make this 82nd game of the season, the last game of the season, meaningful. And they did. They came back down from 15, they forced overtime, and they won the game. And they beat the Wizards. Eric Spoelstra didn't allow the scores of the Pacers and Hawks games in the arena. I'm sorry, the Pacers and the Bulls games. He didn't allow those scores in the arena and that ribbon that goes around the arena. They didn't allow it. He wanted everybody to be focusing on the task at hand, which was winning that basketball game, which was beating the Washington Wizards. And they did. And unfortunately, they find out after that the Pacers won and the Bulls won, and that means that the Heat aren't going to the playoffs. And that's why you get that emotion, because all they wanted to do was play. Eric Spoelstra said after the season, none of us are handling it well right now. Everybody wants nothing more than to come in tomorrow and start preparing for the playoffs. That's what this team's motivation was all season. We talk about Heat culture so much. That's what that is. Basketball above all else. That's what Heat culture is. That's what it is. You can look at a team with expiring contracts. James Johnson on a 1-year deal. Deion Waiters on a 1-year deal. Luke Babbitt getting paid less than the league minimum last year of his contract. And you could say the most important thing for these guys would be to put up really big stats. We've seen guys who don't get paid and end up on signing 1-year deals, sign with lousy teams, and just use that season to pad their stats and go get a big payday somewhere else. We see it all the time. We see it every year. And that's what this Heat team kind of looked like. Waiters coming in, replacing Wade. He'll get his shots. Expiring contracts like James Johnson, Derek Williams at one point. Derek Williams didn't work out. James Johnson worked out. But they didn't work out because they were trying to pad their stats. They worked out because they, even on a 1-year deal, even with the uncertainty that they might not be on the Heat next season, all they cared about was playing together, playing with this Heat team. Whiteside said that this team was a family. He'll always remember this team. I don't know if this team's going to be together. This is going to be a different team next season. the Heat will be a different team next season. It's not going to be the same 15 guys. Depending on how much it changes or doesn't, I don't know. I don't know how much it's going to change. Nobody really knows right now. It depends if Riley lands his big fish. Does he get Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin or somebody even better than that or somebody else? Paul Millsap. I don't know. If he does, that might mean that he can't re-sign Waiters or he can't re-sign James Johnson or he can't re-sign Willie Reed. And in the next few days, weeks, months, we're going to get a lot into what the Heat should do this offseason. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. And we're going to flip over every stone. We're going to check every idea. We're going to be breaking down contracts and salaries. We're going to be breaking down trades. We're going to be breaking down the NBA draft. We're going to be going through scenario over scenario over scenario to figure out how this team could take that next step. But for now, I want to focus on this season and what an accomplishment it was. Because the way this team turned things around, the way they battled back, this Heat organization has had great teams, has had championship-winning teams, but this Heat team is still one of the most impressive I've ever seen for this franchise. It all comes down to that desire to just want to play more basketball. And that's what it's all about, right? Like, you think about these guys who spend their childhood dreaming of being in the NBA. All they want to do is play basketball. They're not thinking about the cash or the money. They're thinking about just playing basketball in front of millions of fans on TV, being superstars, trying to be the next Jordan. That's what they're all thinking about. And that's what this team had. It had that joyfulness. It had that fun. It had that camaraderie of a little league basketball team that won the championship. It had that feeling. That's why it was so much fun to watch. This was one of the most fun seasons that I've had watching the Heat, covering the Heat, talking about the Heat, writing about the Heat. Easily one of the most fun seasons I've ever had. It beats the last year of the Big Three, I'll tell you that for damn sure. This was way more fun than that. Way more fun than that. And you know, look. This was the first season of Locked On Heat. Some of you have been listening since we were the Heat Check, and we appreciate that. We really, really do. We appreciate all the reviews and nice things that you say about us on the iTunes page. We appreciate the 5-star ratings. We appreciate the mailbag questions and comments. Even if we can't get to you sometimes, we read every single mailbag question. We try to reply to as many as possible. We appreciate you reaching out on Twitter, saying that you like the show. You guys, listeners, have made this whole regular season worth it. You really have. You really have. I mean, just the communication and the connection that we've made with a lot of you guys and girls has made it all worth it. And it's been really thrilling to go through this regular season with you guys. David and I really appreciate it. We really do. And we're going to be here for this offseason. I'm not sure what the schedule is going to be. We're probably going to go down from daily just because it's such a grind. We'll probably take a break. But we're going to be covering this offseason like crazy. We've been getting, if you've been listening to this podcast, I imagine you do, every mailbag, even though this team went 30-11 in the second half of the season, we're still getting questions about the offseason. And that makes sense because we have no idea. This is going to be one of the most pivotal offseasons in Miami Heat history. In Miami Heat history. Not only does this summer set the stage for next year's team, it sets the stage for the next several off seasons. Because after this off season, we have the summer of Paul George coming up. Russell Westbrook's going to be a free agent in a couple years, possibly. He can opt out. I mean, there's in the next three seasons, there will be superstars that the Heat can get. I don't know if Pat Riley's going to be looking at it like he was looking at and planning for the summer of 2010. But we know what Riley's motivation is to win championship. We know that he values roster flexibility. Does that mean that he can't sign Waiters and James Johnson, Willie Reed to long-term contracts? What does he view the ceiling of the team? David and I, in the next few weeks and months, we're going to get into all of that, I promise. But for now, I think, look, it hurts that the Heat aren't going to be in the playoffs. It kind of sucks. It just sucks, you know? This is a team that I think is better than the Pacers and Bulls. Unfortunately for the Heat, the Pacers and Bulls didn't start the season 11-30. They didn't start with 19 games under 500. They didn't start that way. Ultimately, that's what mattered. Ultimately, they're going to be in the playoffs. But I have no doubt that the Heat would beat those teams in a playoff series. I have no doubt that the Heat would have beaten the Pacers in seven games. The Heat would have won four out of seven games against Chicago. I have no doubt. But unfortunately, that's just not how it worked out. And the Heat aren't going to be in the postseason. We will start our offseason. The Heat will start their offseason. And we'll be here. And I hope you're listening for everything that we have in store. So thanks again from the bottom of our hearts, my heart, David's heart, for listening, for staying with us for this whole regular season. We're not going away. We're only getting started. It's going to be a hell of an offseason. I'm really looking forward to it. Free agency, the NBA draft, the whole nine yards. David and I will be back. Until then, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. If you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time.